Bonnie and Friends. Bonnie Simon. Jacaranda FM.
Just come in and take like names of a roster. So like Tristan, present. Barney, I'm present. And then when the guy got to my name to read it off a piece of paper, he looked at the name and he started to say and he couldn't pronounce it properly, and he I don't know if he felt embarrassed or not, but then like he didn't even say my name. He just like, well, from today we're gonna be calling you Fudge. And it was the first, word that came to his head that started with an F. And all my friends started calling me Fudge or Fudgy at training. And the next day at school, the next morning, so it was a Tuesday practice, Wednesday morning, everybody started calling me Fudgy. And it's been 18 years since.
I heard it in New Zealand in the final. Fudgy! AB shouting at you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that, the World Cup, but you're still in high school now.
Yes.
When did you, I mean, your parents, I'd love to know, because we're going to talk cricket a little bit later on again, but what kind of music did your parents listen to, the vibe? Did you guys ever play any instruments? Did you play the piano? Did you try and play the guitar, you and your brother?
There wasn't a musical instrument in my house, to be fair. I think I've mentioned it earlier. There was only balls in our house. The rugby ball, cricket ball, squash ball, tennis ball, soccer ball. Any ball you could think of, there was a whole host of like balls in our house and rackets. Tennis racket, squash racket, baseball bat, cricket bat, hockey stick. And then there was the rugby boots, soccer boots. You know, that's the only way we grew up. I mean, that's myself and my brother. We played each other. He used to be Alan Donald. I used to be Hansie Cronier, and I used to be Jonty, and I used to be Sean Pollock. And then we used to be international players. And, you know, we used to go to Newlands and watch rugby and watch cricket, in Cape Town. And all we ever knew was sports. Mm. You know, we played every Saturday for 10 years, we were busy in the winter. We used to play soccer when we were in primary school, and then in high school, that's when I discovered rugby. So rugby became a massive passion of mine. I even loved it more than cricket. You know, so my parents, they were very happy to see us so involved in sport, you know, because it was something that we loved. It was something that was that my dad loved, and my mom, she grew to love it. You know, it's just my brother and I and my dad. So it's three boys, and my mom is the only girl in the house. So it just became kind of tough. You know, I don't have a sister. So, you know, we all lived through sports and through my Saturdays when I was growing up, and when my brother was old enough to play sport, we lived through his Saturdays. And then, you know, that's what was going on in high school and stuff. Maybe I could have, you know, learned, or maybe I could have been introduced to an instrument or not. But, you know, as it turns out, you know, I'm probably not that way inclined. I don't have a singing voice.
So in other words, you weren't part of the boys' choir.
No, okay. not at all.
Sport, if you look at the kids today, I mean, a lot of drug problems, violence, gangs, it's chaos. In your day, there must have been a lot of gangs around and bad influences. And because you were disciplined at school, and maybe your parents as well, protected you from that. But there must have been a time in your life where you went, phew, you know, this gangster thing looks kind of cool. I want to be part of the whole thing. What was it like?
Barney, I grew up in the Cape Flats, so I stayed in a suburb called Surrey Estate, and it's next to the very notorious Manenberg in Cape Town. Our community was quite cool. Our group of neighbors were very cool, and all their kids were very involved in sport. And like, we used to play, like I mentioned, street cricket and street soccer, and, you know, and my parents, you know, you don't really realize it now, but they actually sheltered us from that particular environment. I was never really inclined to go that particular way. I don't know what it was. You know, it was just a sport crazy family, and you know, in the winter when it came, especially in Cape Town, in the winter months, it rains quite a lot. So we used to play sport indoors, and my mom, she would scream her head off, you know, don't play cricket in the house, no sport, no ball games, you're going to break windows. And inevitably, we did break windows. I could see, you know, like from a community point of view, and like other people getting involved in the bad side, you know, the drugs and the violence and the gangsters and stuff. I felt like me being a role model to my little brother, you know, we kind of like get each other going with regards to sports. And I think that's why my mom sent me to Westerford High School outside of the area, you know, so that wasn't a high school where there was problems with violence and gangsters and drugs inside the particular school that could have lured me. So, you know, I'm very grateful and very thankful that she took me out of that environment, sent me to Westerford High School. So I was out of that environment and then looked after my academics, you know, played sport, and as I've mentioned, met a whole lot of people within Westerford, you know, that came from a whole host of different backgrounds. And as soon as I started playing sport and became fairly good at it, you know, cricket under 14, under 15, I played rugby under 14, under 15, first team, you know, once that got me hooked and we started becoming good at it, you know, there was no stopping me, you know, going forward in that particular life. That when we were growing up from primary school to high school, it was almost just left behind on a whim. You know, we had no inclination of going that way, and we kind of, I would say, saw the proverbial light. And sport was it sounds maybe like an old broken record, but sport actually gave us that opportunity, you know, to steer far away. And you know, it's proven a worthwhile tool for us.
How do you feel about the gangs now and the stories that you read? And do you think if we can put something back into those communities like sport, that the gangs will go away? I don't think that'll solve the problem, but I think it starts with the parents now, because most of them are in gangs, then the kids get involved. That's just what my point of view. But how do you think they'll solve that problem?
It's a very tough one. I don't think we'll ever eradicate that particular problem. I know one of my good friends, JP Dumini, who I play with, he started a community project in Cape Town. I think it's called the JP 21 Project. 21's a number on his back. And it's a cricket competition within primary school. So he's trying to target the very younger kids. So, you know, so like I said, I got hooked at a very early age onto sport. And once I got hooked, I couldn't go back. I think it's sort of a similar thing. Once you get hooked in a certain particular lifestyle, whether it be bad or good, you know, once you get hooked, it's kind of tough. It's like smoking cigarettes. Once you get hooked, it's tough to get out of it. So, so he's kind of started this particular community project trying to incorporate primary schools to kind of get the sport going again in primary schools, because that's kind of waned off a little bit, especially with regards to, there's a whole host of things that can occupy youngsters these days. You know, there's PlayStation and Xbox and all sorts of like gadgets, you know, music, iPads, iPods, whatever. To be fair, I never had that, you know, growing up. So it's just slightly easier. So the challenge is to kind of get the kids hooked and get the kids in to enjoy playing sport again. And not necessarily just for competition and just playing amongst each other, you know. And I don't know a solution for that. I don't know how to get that across. It would seem a lot easier to do, or saying it would be a lot easier than to actually implement it. So it could be a route.
Even the cops are too scared to go in there. You know what I mean? It's a major problem. But you know, thank your parents and the school that you went to. How many A's did you get in matric?
I got 0 A's in matric.
Oh, no, come on now.
I got 0 A's. I got a B in Afrikaans. I was pretty good.
Can you speak Afrikaans, Brad?
Ek is tweetalig. Ek bly maar in Pretoria van 9 jaar. So ek kan Afrikaans praat. My Afrikaans hoërskool onderwyseres sal baie trots wees op my nou.
Jy klink baie goed. en jy is nie 'n blou bil nie, né?
Nee, ek slap nie 'n blou bil nie. As jy my nou my arm sny, dan bloei ek wit en blou strepe vir jou. Stormers.
VP en Stormers. VP! Nou, vertel mij. Okay, ons gaan even je Engels praten.
Ja, let's go back to English.
So, you got matric and your parents are proud of you. When did you know, did you play club cricket while you were still at school or only when you got into varsity?
I played a little bit of club cricket for a club called Ottomans Cricket Club. It's one of the oldest cricket clubs in the country. I think they it was the 140th or 130th anniversary the other day. My brother currently plays for them in Cape Town. They're still going. My best friend, who's still my best friend today, Shadley, his father used to be chairman, and whenever we had school holidays, he'd invite me to play a few second team and third team games just to get a bit of extra. And that's how keen we were to play. You know, even in our school holidays, we wanted to play cricket, you know, and play with the men and just to get a bit of experience. And, so I played a bit of club cricket and that experience, it's a Muslim, cricket club, and they have a relationship with a Malaysian, because my descendants are Cape Malay. And back in whenever 350 years ago, there was some slaves that came over to work for Simon van der Staal and the Dutch colonizers when they came to Cape Town, whatever. And then a relationship was struck with the Malaysian community and the Cape Malay community. And we went to tour Malaysia and they played a bit of cricket and we played a bit of cricket and we kind of just went on holiday for a little bit. So me playing for them actually was a very good thing, and it was quite a family orientated trip. There was a lot of people who's never been overseas before. We took them along with us and myself included. I've never been overseas up until that point. And we went to Kuala Lumpur. We went to Singapore. We went to Penang, an island off Malaysia, which is beautiful. So I did play club cricket, and that opportunity playing club cricket afforded me to go overseas, which I've never been and I've never done before up until then. That was just a little bit. And then I played for UCT cricket after high school. Went to UCT, studied a BS psychology degree in 2001. Giving away my age a little bit.
Doesn't matter.
Again.
You're still young.
And so I did that in 2001, and I played club cricket for UCT. A wonderful 3 years. Again, the opportunity that I played in the best league in Cape Town, and I got offered a bursary at UWC and UCT. UWC didn't play in the best league. They played in the league below, and I decided to go play cricket for the best, like in the best league, and to be recognized and to be seen. And if the team did well, hopefully I would have gained some representative honors. And that's exactly how it turned out, you know. A few years playing for UCT, grafting hard, and it was a lot of fun. Playing for a varsity side, we were definitely naughty. We went to a few SAUs and South African University Week, and we went to Club Champs Week a few times, and yeah, we were very successful.
Do you remember of the, any of the famous people now in the Proteas and that did well when you played club cricket? Did you play against any of the big names today?
There's a very quite a well-known guy. His name is Ryan Tendulkar. He played for Ireland. He plays for the Kolkata Knight Riders in the IPL, and he currently resides in the UK. He plays for Essex, one of the county sides there. He was my captain. A very good guy. Learned my cricket through him. He was very hard on the field, but quite a soft guy off the field, you know. So that's where I learned. You know, we always had a saying. When we were playing for UCT, we're not here to make friends. So we would be we'd be quite aggressive playing. Another guy who played for UCT, albeit only just a few games, Graham Smith, our former.
Oh, yes, we know him.
Yeah, our former national captain.
So you were there playing with him at that stage?
So I was like 18 years old, and here's Graham Smith, and he played a few games. I think he made his debut for South Africa, and he was good friends with a very good friend of mine, Doug Worth, and we all pretty good friends now, and he played a few games, and it was quite just a wild moment for me, you know. It was really like, wow, this guy is he is who he is, and he's still playing a bit of club cricket. And so that's just some of the guys that I know, and I'm trying to think. Such a long time ago, playing club cricket at UCT. So two or three years went by and got recognized. I was first a bowler.
Now that's what I wanted to know, because everybody wants to bat. You know, you think you're going to be the opening batsman and that's it, and you'll be famous. Nobody wants to bowl.
Barney and Friends. Barney Simon. Jacaranda FM.